We are towards the top of Subas Pei Dalet Ahmed Aleph 84A. We were just trying to figure out what does Halachic Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, but lo mitameh mean? Right? What do those words mean? So we had first proposed that maybe what it meant was we don't paskin that the Halachic Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel that we paskin if you would make a condition against the Torah, so then it would not work. But lo mitameh means we don't follow the halacha that he said, which is that if the wife dies, then the husband inherits her. And Rav says no, he does not inherit her once he made a condition that he doesn't want anything to do with her property. We had said, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. It should have said mitameh v'lo kehilchasehu, meaning he should not have said halachic Rav Shimon Gamliel. He should have said tameh Rav Shimon Gamliel v'halacha v'lo kehilchasehu. So then we had proposed at the end of yesterday's year, we had a little bit of time to go a little further. We had said maybe halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel in terms of the real halacha that it said that he does still inherit the wife, but the reason of Rav Shimon Gamliel is no good because Rav Shimon Gamliel thought that the Tanai would be batel on a daraisa and midrabanan it would be good according to Rav Shimon Gamliel that if you were to make a condition against something the rabbis instituted then that would work. And Rav says, no, I disagree with Tameh, because it's not only on a daraisa that the Tanai is about. So it's not only on a daraisa that you can't make a condition, but even for a derabanan, you can't make a condition to override a derabanan. So then Rav says, wait a second, that also wouldn't be, the phraseology wouldn't be lo mitameh. It wouldn't be that the reasoning is wrong. It's just the reasoning goes further. And that's what it said before. Hai tameh ukehil chasehu v'rav mosif hu. Rav's just adding to it. So then we finished off yesterday saying, rather what it means is halach Rav Shimon Gamliel tamar mesa yirshana v'lo mitameh di'il Rav Shimon Gamliel savar yirusha sabah d'areisa v'lamas mamash v'as v'tar tina v'atel v'rav savar yirusha sabah midrabanan v'chamas v'chizik z'vrem k'shel Torah. That really, even though Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that the Tanai does not work, meaning you can't make a condition to not inherit your wife, he thought that was because it doesn't work. He thought that it doesn't work because it's a din d'oraisa. This is a biblical halakha that a person is supposed to inherit his wife. However, says Rav, it's not true. Really, it is a midrabanan halakha. The halakha of inheriting one's wife is only instituted as a takana from the rabbis. And if a person, and nonetheless, if a person tries to make a condition against it, it's still nullified and you would still inherit the wife. Okay. The problem with that is the following. For Rav Savar Yishas Abad Rabbanan, is that really true that Rav holds that the inheritance of a wife, the husband to a wife, is only a din Rabbanan v'hatanan? There's a Mishnah. This is getting to the crux of the issue, which we assumed we were going to get into when we read the Mishnah. Is the halacha of inheriting one's wife an actual din daraisa or darabanan? So the Bryce, the Mishnah in Bechoro says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brilka Omer, Hayorish Hasishto Yachzir, Livnei Mishpacha. That we know that when it comes to Yovel, all of the ancestral lands will go back to their original family's owners. And here what it's saying is that the husband who inherits from a wife would have to inherit a piece of land from a wife. That piece of land goes back to its original family's owner, meaning the woman's original family. And they would pay him for the field, right? They basically get the rights to the field. V'inakalehem min hadamin. But they don't have to pay the entire, they don't have to pay the entire value of the field. How do you translate the word v'inakeh?
And he must deduct from the price for them.
Meaning he gets it cheaper, I guess, something like that. Maybe he doesn't get the full price for them because technically they belong to the family. We asked the question on the Gemara and Brachoros over on Mishnah Brachoros over there. Ma'ika savar, what does Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha hold? Ika savar yirusha sabah daraisa amayachter. If you hold that the kinyan, that the acquisition of the husband of the wife's field when he inherited it, if that was daraisa, so then why is it that the husband has to give back the field to the family. If it's midaraisa, so then anything which is a, I'm sort of just reading at surface level understanding, I don't have any background information about this, but the Gemara says, if it is a biblical acquisition, meaning that the inheritance was really binding midaraisa, so then why is it that he has to give it back at Yovel? That's not the type of thing you'd have to give it back during Yovel. The Idrabanan, if it was Midrabanan, so then Damim, Maya Vidatayu. Why is it that the family has to pay to get the field back? If it's only Midrabanan, so then the Daraisa should win out, and he's obligated to give the field back. So I'm just assuming that's what it means. The Amar Rav, and Rav said over there, to explain the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Broka, Lo'olam kasav yirsha sabah daraisa. Really, Rabbi Yochanan Broka holds that the field acquisition through inheritance, the husband of the wife, is a din daraisa. B'chigon sherishato shehorishatu ishto beis hakvaros. And we're talking about a situation where he inherited a field for a cemetery?
Says for his ancestral graveyard.
With the family's ancestral graveyard, mishum pagam mishpacha, amar rabbanan lishkol damei v'lehadar. Technically, it's a din daraisa. He gets the field for good. However, midrabbanan, they came along and said, you know, it's not so nice that you get to keep the family's, you know, graveyard. You should give it back to them, and you know, they should pay you a little bit for it also. So this is, says Rav, this is a brand new halacha. It's not the default halacha, not a general halacha that applies to everybody, but specifically in this case, the person is supposed to give the field back because of this takana midrabanan. But technically, in the most basic of halachos, fundamentally, the inheritance of a husband, of a wife from the husband, is a din daraisa. So that doesn't make sense that he would come and say that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's reasoning doesn't work because it's only midarabanan that the husband inherits the wife. We have here from the Gemara, from the Mishnah Mechoros, that when he's explaining or justifying the sheets of Rabbi Yochanan Broka, he points out that it's in the din daraisa, not a din darabanan. So he holds like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's reasoning also, that it's a daraisa. Says Gemara, umay yinakalan min hadam. And what does it mean when he has to sort of lessen the value? To make kether ishto. He shouldn't take any money. Oh, okay, interesting. He lessens the value based on whatever cost would be involved with burying his wife, meaning he'd get the money for the field, because technically it's owed to him. It's his money. It's his field, midaraisa. But he also has the obligation to bury his wife, and therefore they would just deduct the amount of money it would take for that from the sale of the field. If someone were to sell off the place, the burial spot, or the place leading up to the burial spot, so then, or ma'amado, which is apparently some kind of like resting spot that they would have in conjunction with the cemetery, Umakom has paid out the place that they would sort of rent out, or what, I guess they would, I don't know what this means, some kind of platform maybe that they would take it usually from. So then, Baim B'nei Mishpacha.
Sort of be like you imagine, like the New Orleans funerals where they stop along the way and they sing things.
How they do that? I don't know. Okay.
So that's familiar. Kind of, these okay. Are like platforms does, where they eulogize.
Right. It sounds like they had different things that they would have at different spots for this for the procession. Nowadays we have, you know, in Chesed Shalemes, we have, you know, entire funeral homes. But back then, you can imagine that they had sort of huge fields for cemeteries, and they had these different things along the way to help the process move along. So, someone who sold off the rights to, or sold off the land to all these things, so then the family comes after whose death? Whoever dies, their family comes, the person who sold the field, their family comes after they die, and they bury the person against their will. I mean, is anyone buried in accordance
without
to their will?
The buyer's consent.
Okay. meaning he had a piece of land for his burial. He sold it, and he still gets to use it. Mishum begam mishpacha, because it's disgraceful that they'd have strangers being buried in their cemetery. Okay, Rav Latame says the Gemara. Also, now we have to figure out, and I saw this coming. Rav Latame, Rav Yochanan ben Broka, Kamar v'leis los virle. Rav wasn't saying his own opinion when he said that the default halacha is that a man inherits his wife midaraisa. He was just explaining how Rav Yochanan ben Broka didn't make any sense. Rav Yochanan ben Broka needed to explain how it was that the husband inherited the wife, but still had to send he had midaraisa, but still had to sell it back to the family. So that's how he explained. But Rav didn't hold that himself. Rav was just saying Rav Yochanan ben Broka held that midaraisa. But really, Rav holds that he inherits midarabanan, and that's what he means ultimately when he said the halachos of Rav Shimon Gamliel, but not because of what Rav Shimon Gamliel said. And as we originally said when we said the Mishnah, if you remember, that really Rabbi Shimon Gamliel held it was daraisa, and the Tanakam, who says he could make such a condition, must hold that it's midarabanan, and that's what Rav says here too. Okay. Came full circle. We just had to take a couple bit stuff along the way. Says the Mishnah, Mishemes v'nech isha b'achov yorshin v'yorshin. Someone who died and left over a woman who obviously needs her ksuba of money and a debtor?
A creditor.
Creditor. Sorry, I get that.
He's
confused.
The debtor, yeah.
He's the one. He owes money, meaning he owes money to his wife and to this guy. So v'yorshin. And he leaves over some inheritors. V'hayalo pikadam ol milva. He has some kind of collateral or a milva. Milva is something that he was
lent. A deposit or a loan in the possession of others.
Okay, meaning he had loaned somebody else money. He owes somebody money, but somebody else owes him money. Is that what that means? Meaning collateral or a loan from somebody else.
The note here says he didn't leave any real estate, but he had deposited an object with someone or lent someone money.
Right.
Thus he left movable items that were not yet in the orphan's hands or being held by a borrower or depository.
Meaning somebody else has money that could pay off the woman and the creditor. So Biyadachir and Rebbe Yitarpon Omer, Yinasnu Lakoshel Shebahen. It's a weird word to use. But they should be given over, it skips right past him, given over to whoever is the weaker of the two. The Gemara is going to explain what that means. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva, Omer ein merachamin badin. Eli yidnasim layarshin. We don't play favorites or at least less favorites when it comes to giving over. You know who's owed money. Rather, you give it to the inheritors. Shekulan tzrichin shvua. Everyone has to swear that they're owed money and that they weren't paid back yet. So therefore, until they make that swearing, so then they have no rights to the money. So they just give, if they ain't hayarshan tzrichin shvua, but the inheritors don't need to make a swear, they just get what's rightfully theirs. V'hiniach peros tulshim nakarka. Okay, different case that Rabbi Yochiv and Rabbi Tarfon disagree. Peros tulshim nakarka. I guess a father dies and there are disconnected fruits on the land. Whoever gets there first is zoche to them. Hold on. I guess same case, right? The wife is supposed to get a ksuba and the creditor is supposed to be paid back. So now we've got a bunch of produce sitting on this guy's field. Either the wife or the creditor gets to go over there and collect from those produce, even though there are orphans. If the woman takes more than her ksuba is worth, Hamosar, if they take too much, then where does the extra go? Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Yinasla Koshet Behen. It should go to one of them, whichever one's weaker. Same type of thing from Rabbi Tarfon. I don't know why we're giving them extra now all of a sudden. Rabbi Akiva Omer, In Rachm Vadin, El Yinasla Yarshin, all of it should go to the inheritors. Shekulim Sri Yeshua, the Ein Yarshin Sri Yeshua. Right? Same type of machlokes. Rabbi Tarfon gives an extra an extra leniency or extra flexibility to the creditor and to the woman to collect their owed money. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, no, it always goes to inheritors because they've got to prove that they're owed that money. It's kind of interesting that the creditor, I understand, has to prove it. The woman, and presumably, how much time has passed since the husband died that we're worried she might have already collected on it somehow. I don't know. Says the Gemara, Lamali Lemisti Milva, Lamali Lemisti Bikana. Why does it have to say first that there is a loan, that an outstanding loan that somebody owes him, and alternatively there's a collateral? What do we learn? What do we gain from those two examples? So Srichitana Milza, if you only talk about money in the hands of somebody else. So how come Rabbi Tarfon? Maybe in that case, that's what Rabbi Tarfon would say. You could go collect from Mishum de Milva Lhotza Nitna, because that money is supposed to ultimately be given away. Meaning very much more liquefied, just money. About the cousins, Isa Ve'enai, but the collateral, which is just its own thing, it's much harder. So Emma Modele Rabbi Akiva. Hold on. Okay. So when it comes to money, a person is given a loan. So why are you given a loan? You're given a loan because you need money to buy things. So he goes out and he buys things. And he says, I'll pay you back. So he's going to get some other money. So it's the same thing that he gave him wasn't the same thing he's going to pay back. So it's much more fluid, I guess we should say, that Rabbi Tarfon would say, yeah, they can go get the money, whatever money they can find, they can go get it from this guy. But when it comes to the collateral, it's a very specific thing. It's a very tangible and unique thing that he gave him. I don't know, a watch or something like that. So that watch, maybe Rabbi Tarfon would say that is more tied to the inheritors than anything else, because it's not just like random money, but it is an actual item of their father. So maybe they would get that immediately. So then the Gemara says, no, even Rabbi Tarfon holds that even the collateral would go straight to the creditor. V'itanaha, and if it only would have said the collateral, the watch, so maybe v'hakam Rabbi Akiva, v'hakam emal moldi Rabbi Tarfon, maybe Rabbi Akiva would hold that, you know, cash could go straight to the creditor, whereas only the collateral, he would say, has to go back to the inheritors. So therefore, tricha need both. So now Gemara says, when my lot koshel, what does it mean, koshel? I had pointed out that was like a very unique word. So he's saying, now the Gemara is trying to figure out, what does it mean? So Rabbi Yos, right, we'd give the money to the weaker one. Rabbi Yos, Rabbi Chanina, Omar la koshel, sheb beraya. The one to whom the contract is less reliable?
The one with the weakest proof.
Right.
Whichever one is holding the more recently dated document is deemed to have a weaker proof than the other. Since they cannot collect from real property of the deceased soul before the date on the document.
Oh, okay. Meaning the older, you said earlier, right?
No, more recently dated.
Oh, the more recent one, because the buyer, you know, the deceased, might have sold more things post the first contract and pre the second contract that you couldn't collect from.
Okay. Since the party's at a disadvantage regarding collecting from real property.
That makes sense, actually. I hear that.
Right.
He has less resources to collect from.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yochanan Amar, the Ksubas Isha. Rabbi Yochanan just thinks that it means the Ksuba. Mishum China. We don't want the woman to feel like they're going to lose out. Okay, so I don't know why they're using a euphemism of Lakosha. Let's just say the Ksuba then. Kitsunai, as the verse says, Rabbi Yochanan, Lakosha Shavaraya Vahu Kasher. And that's the proper thing to do, to give it to the older or the more recent shtar. Rabbi Yochanan Aramar, Luksuva Sish Mishum China. Okay, I wasn't Mishum China mean again. So that other people would know that they can marry this girl, and they don't have to worry that they're going to lose their ksuba. Okay, so it's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, what this word, what this concept even means. Tosfos says that what it means is that the women will have their money, and people will want them more because they got some kind of inheritance or exuva, whatever, they have some money that they could bring with them, like a dowry type of concept. Okay, hineach peres hatzlushin, if there were disconnected fruit on the ground or something, so there may be a kiva ma'irya mosar, kulunami diyarshin habu. Why, for Rabbi Akiva, there's no such thing as mosar. Right, Rabbi Akiva, everything goes to the inheritors. So why would it say that there's machlokas Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva? Does the extras go to her, or does it go to the creditor? So the Gemara says, "Enachanami." Yeah, I did. I'm Rabbi Tarfon Mosar. It's not Enachanami Mosar. Yeah, it's just because Rabbi Tarfon said it. So Rabbi Akiva has to respond. Rabbi Akiva Tzvisa L'Mahanya Klau, and for Rabbi Akiva, the fact that the fact that the creditor or the woman would go to the field and grab the produce does not help at all, apparently, for Rabbi Akiva. Is that true? I'm Rav Nachman Behusha Tapas Mechaim. Rava says from Rav Nachman, it does help as long as they had collected it, they had seized it while he was still alive. Once he's dead, they don't have any rights to it. Rabbi Tarfon de Manchi Hecha, according to Rabbi Tarfon, who says that if you grab the fruit, then you can actually acquire them, you can sort of prevent the inheritors from getting it. So where does the fruit have to be for that actually to work? So Rabbi Shmuel Amar Tarvayev Hu Shet Tzivurin Umunachim Rishus Rabbim. If they are collected and piled up in Rishus Rabbim, Avav B'Simta, if they're on the side of the Rishus Rabbim, like in a little corner or something, so lo, that does not work because in that place it was clearly designated, it was set to the side, and therefore it's designated for the Yarshin also if it's piled up like that. Okay, interesting. Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish Tamar Tarvaya Afilu B'Simta. Even if it's on the side, it's still in the Rishus Rabbim, so then it would be considered to still be up for grabs if the woman or the creditor wants to come along. Okay. Dun Dayane Krebi Tarfon V'Ahadre Rish Lakish La'uvda Minayu. So one time this happened, the creditor actually grabbed hold of some of these movable produce from the field, and they had this halacha, and they passed on the Rabbi Tarfon, that whoever got there first, so they would be zocha. V'ahadre Rish Lakish l'uvda minayu. And then Rish Lakish came along and said that they should give the produce back. Give it back to the inheritor.
I'm baffled at who has the right to overrule whom.
Yeah, I don't know. That's so far, Rish Lakish has the right to overrule whoever the original Dayanim are. But yes, it is interesting. What is the dynamic between different Rabbanim here? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asisa Kedin Kishel Torah. He says to Rish Lakish, his Chavrusa, who he always argued with, he said, Rish Lakish, this time you got it right. Or he's saying that you did like Rabbi Akiva, who holds Midaraisa, goes to the inheritors. Okay.
This is a seer, but you're treating Rabbi Akiva's position as if it were a Torah law, but surely this isn't the case, so you shouldn't.
So he does disagree a little bit, meaning when you do hold like Rabbi Akiva, you're saying like Rabbi Akiva, but you're enforcing it as if it's a din d'oraisa, as opposed to a din d'rabbanan. Meaning, even though we pass like Rabbi Akiva, you're right. Nonetheless, if it already happened, you don't have to take it back. I think that's what it's saying. So let me talk about this again. Demar Savar Tzavah Demar Mishnah Choser. Maybe they're not arguing about whether or not it's Dereitz or Derabanan, but they're arguing about whether you give it back. If your Tzavah Demar Mishnah, right, if the Dayan had given a ruling which was mistaken, so do you have to give it back or not? So one opinion holds, Rish Lakish holds, you have to give it back. Umar Savar Tzavah Demar Mishnah in the Choser. You do not give it back, and really just, it just is what it is. So Says the Gemara, lo, to kuli alma, tabi devar mishnah chos, everyone agrees to give it back. That one, Rabbi Yochanan, holds that we pass like Rabbi Akiva when he disagrees with a colleague, but not when he disagrees with a Rebbe.
And
in this case, Rabbi Tarfon was his Rebbe, so he can't, we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva over Rabbi Tarfon. And that's Rabbi Yochanan is disagreeing with Rosh Lakish, and he shouldn't have done that. Umar Sabar halacha afil mirabo. And Rosh Lakish holds that Rabbi Akiva beats out even Rabbi Tarfon. Be by Samuel, I was going to know you could say. Maybe they do agree that Rabbi Akiva is only passing like against his colleagues, but not against Rabbi Tarfon. But here the case is that Marzav Rabbi Tarfon Rabbo Hava, Marzav Chaver Hava. Do we look at Rabbi Tarfon as a Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva or as a colleague of Rabbi Akiva? You have those, you know, you have those relationships where the Rebbe Talmud is a little blurred sometimes. So it says, "Mavi by same alternatively a third time." Tikuliyam chaver hava v'hakmachum v'zgli mar savar halach itmar mar savar matin itmar. Matin means that we don't know for sure that the halach is Rabbi Akiva, but we're leaning that way. And therefore, once we're only leaning that way, if we pass him the other way, so it's not that you have to enforce Rabbi Akiva's shita because we don't necessarily pass him like him. We just lean towards his halacha. And really meet the Evid, you should keep the other way, if that's how they already said it. Okay, different story. Krevid Rabbi Yochanan Tafas Parad Yasmi Mesimta. That one time, the relative of Rabbi Yochanan took hold of a cow which belonged technically to orphans, but was on the side, was sort of like designated on the side,
as a creditor,
exactly. They were getting paid back from it. So it's good that you did that. This is the Rabbi Tarfon. So that's consistent. Also the commentary of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. No, he said, shouldn't he have? I don't know. I don't know how close the relatives they were. But they came in front of Rabbi Shlakish. I don't know why they would do that. But Amar Lehu Zila Halder, he said, give it back. Also the commentary of Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Lehu Ma'as Zeshek, Negdi Chaluk Olai. Rabbi Shlakish, who is my equal, said to give it back. So I can't help you anymore. So he did recuse himself, basically. Ha'uba Kara Diyasme, once there was cattle of Yasme de Tafsi, Toramine, and they...
It must be that he couldn't...
Bakarabi,
it must be that Rabbi Yochanan really couldn't rule.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We got to move on. So, I think this is some kind of like shepherd or something. The Tafsi, Toramine, and he came along. He was a worker, I guess, for the orphans, and he came along and he seized, I guess as payment or as a fulfillment of the loan from their father, an ox from them. So Balchov Amar Mechaim Tafi.
No, it sounds like it was taken from him. That's from whom an ox was seized by their father's creditor.
Oh, okay. They took the ox from him. He was watching the animals and somebody else came along and took one of the animals as payment. So Balchov Amar Mechaim Tafis Nale. I already took this ox already when the guy was still alive. Ubakara Amar La'achra Misa Tavtei. No, it was after he died. So also the Kamei Rav Nachman Amar Le Islach Hasadi Tavtei. Do you have any witnesses about that? Says Rav Nachman. So Amar Le Lav. I don't have any witnesses that I took it already while he was alive. So Amar Le. So Migos Yachol Neimer Lakuach Lubiati. You could have said that you bought it. You could have said. The creditor could have said it wasn't a repayment of a loan, but it was rather that I literally bought it. But now that you're saying that it was a repayment of a loan, we're going to once you're saying a lesser claim, so we're going to believe you on that lesser claim. Okay, interesting. So v'hamar Rish Lakish hagodros ein lehem chazaka. Those who are smaller animals. That which are smaller animals. Ein lehem chazaka.
Yeah, it just says animals here.
Okay.
Which are moles, they don't have a chazaka as proof of their ownership.
Okay, so just a fact. Because he could have just picked it up, a stray animal or something like that, and therefore you can't assume that just because he has it means he had acquired it. So Gemara says, "No, Shani Torah de Mesira Leroe. A Torah, an ox is different because it doesn't move around the same way.
It's handed over to this kind of, you know, guard, this herdsman who watches over it.
Uh-huh. So you can't just say that you kind of found it over in the field or something. Okay. Tavani siya tapos amsa tiyasmi misimta. That there was once in the Nasi's house, the people of Nasi's house, they took a maidservant of the orphans that they were owed by the father. Yasu Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Chanina bar Pelpi, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Yasu Rabbi Abba Gabayu. So they're all sitting there. Amar Lehu, this one of the Dayanim said to the people of that house, Shabrat Tisu Suha, that you did good by taking this maidservant and getting paid back, I guess. Amar Lehu Rabbi Abba, Mishum Tavayin Siya Ninhu, Mach Nefisu Lehu. Because they're from the Nasi's house, you can slatter them like this. Vaha dun dayanik Rebbe Tarfo, vahadre rishlakish utaminayu. Didn't we learn that there was once a time where they passed on like Rebbe Tarfo, and Rebbe Shlakish told them to give it back? You can't just claim the payment of a loan to detract from the inheritors. That's like Rebbe Shlakish passed like Rebbe Akiva. So Gemara is, okay, another story. That's another story where it's Fasma like Rebbe Kiva. Yemar Bar Chashu, that's his name, Havu Masik Bezuze Ba'al Gavra. He was once trying to collect on a money that he was owed. Shachiv, that person died, Veshavik Arba. And he had some kind of boat. Amar Le Lishluche Zil Tafsa Niali. Go get me that boat. Look, Azal Tav says, I don't know how, but he seized this boat. Pagu, he sounds like a pirate. Pagu Bey, Reb Papa, Reb Huna Bred, Reb Yeshua Amrulay, they said to him, you can't just take that guy's boat. At Tofes Leval Cho, B'makom Shechav L'Acherim. You are taking what is, as a creditor, that which is, you know, at the expense of people who are actually owed that, meaning it's obligated.
Other creditors.
Other creditors. I thought that maybe that was a euphemism for the inheritors. Maybe there are actually other creditors. Anyone who takes as the creditor at the expense of other creditors, lo kana, does not actually acquire it. And so to you, you don't acquire it for Yemar Bar Chashu. So Tafsua Inhu. The people that are saying this to him then took the boat?
Rav Papa and Rav Huna.
They were owed money?
They were creditors too.
Oh, so they weren't talking on behalf of somebody else. They're like, hey, we owe him. We need that boat. All right. This is Rav Papa Mimach Muluchay.
Rav Papa
Rode. Rav Huna Braid Rav Yishun Mimatach Laba Ashla. You would do something with the ropes?
He pulled it with a rope.
So now it's a question: Who owns the boat? So Mar Amar Ana Kanina Lahul Kula says, "I once said I own the whole thing." Mar Amar Ana Kanina Lahul Kula. They both took a different part of the boat and claimed it. So Pagabuhu Rav Pinchas Bar Ami Amar Lahu Rabu Shmuel Darma Tervaya Buhu Shet Tzibur and Munach Moshes Rabin. Neither of their kinyanim works because even according to Rabbi Tarfon, the only time you can do it is if it's piled up in Moshes Rabin. And in this case, I guess it wasn't like that. The boat is just...
It was
along the river. It was along the riverbank. Okay. Amarlei, ananami me harifusa denara tafisna. We also took it from the...
current in the middle of the river.
In the middle of the river.
Which is equivalent to...
Okay, trying to... Yeah, same as the river, Tarfon. Same as the river. Asu l'kami jirava amarlehu kake chivare. You are white geese. Umishachli glime deinshe. And you take off the clothing of people, meaning you took something that's not inappropriate. The only time that would work is only if it happened while the person was alive. This guy's dead. You can't just go around taking his boat. All right. So even Rav Papa and Rav Huna were reprimanded by the authorities for not doing that. Okay. Sure.